Welcome to Bengal Buzz tonight. We're very excited to have the guest we've got tonight. We've got Dr. Henry Evans with us. So thanks for coming on tonight.
No problem. Thank you.
So Henry is the Associate Director of Equal Opportunity, Affirmative Action, and Diversity here at ISU.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what that is, what you do for the university.
So our office is the office that people come. Basically, we're here to make sure that everybody's happy and thriving and respected and having a good time at Idaho State University. We have a couple of centers that we do some diversity training. We are involved in a hiring process. So we make sure that hopefully we're hiring people or recruiting people who are diverse and then affording equal opportunity through the process. So we kind of work with HR on the hiring aspects of that. We manage our affirmative action plan. And we also, as I was going to say earlier, we have a couple of centers on campus that provide programming and training around diversity and sexuality issues, primarily for students.
Okay. So does that, do you guys include the Janet?
Yeah. So we have the diversity. Yeah, yeah. Okay. We have the Janet Anderson Center, Gender Center, and that is run by our assistant director Stephanie Richardson, and then we have the Diversity Resource Center, which reports to me now. Both centers will do programming around issues of diversity and inclusion. I don't know. Are you familiar with the Green Dot training that the Janet Center does?
You know, I'm not. No,
okay.
I haven't heard
so
about that.
So one of the things that they do is the Green Dot, which is a bystander intervention training for students and staff, and it's really about recognizing when there are instances of potential violence or conflict, whether it's on campus or in the community, and then training people to recognize when those are occurring, which we call red dots, and then giving them strategies to intervene, which we call green dots.
Okay.
And so those could be from, intervening in a physical way or distracting. There's several videos around the Green Dot trainings, which are very interesting to see. I'm known as the person who is not really prone for a physical intervention, but I will try to distract or redirect or something like that. So, but we do those trainings throughout the year, and those are really popular and actually very, very helpful.
And those are available to anybody on campus?
Those are if you are interested in Green Dot training, you could reach out to our office or Stephanie Richardson's office, the Gender Resource Center, and request those.
Okay.
So Stephanie Richardson and Sean Fay, who is our management analyst, he runs our affirmative action plan, kind of spearhead that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the diversity side, we have the Diversity Resource Center, and that center, again, provides training and programming around diversity issues for our faculty and staff and students. So
yeah.
We will, if you're interested, you can contact us. We'll come talk to your class. We'll do trainings on diversity. We do conversations on diversity, as I like to say. And then we have programming throughout the year aimed at bringing light to the diversity that exists on our campus. So, for example, last fall, we began our programming for the year under the theme, It's All Love.
Uh-huh.
And so people hopefully have seen advertisements which have something about love in the title. So last semester, our programming for Diversity Week centered around the concept of love. We had a panel on love, I believe it was called It's a Love Thing or What's Love Got to Do with It or something.
Uh-huh.
And then we worked with the theater to show Loving, movie Loving.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I actually
right.
went to that in great movie too, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Studying political science here and then going to law school, I'd obviously
heard
kind of the legal side of Loving, but didn't really realize kind of the human side of
right.
what they really went through.
And, 50 years ago. So we were lucky that it was the 50th anniversary of that decision, uh-huh. Loving v. Virginia, which, overturned the
bans on interracial marriage.
Exactly. And then we had some panels that dealt with Dr. Shane Gleason from the Political Science Department did a panel on the kind of impact and evolution of the decision, or the impact of the loving decision, the kind of evolution of the concept of love and marriage for the last 50 years. And then we had a panel by Dr. Deidre Caputo-Levine, who had us a conversation about recognizing us in the other. I like these really long kind of esoteric panel titles, but the question we're trying to wrestle with is, in this environment when we have so much that seems to be ripping at the social structure and our idea of commonality, how we can mobilize through the concept of love and community respect to kind of rebuild those bonds of commonality. So that's what we're doing.
I think that stuff is fascinating.
Right.
And, you know, last year I went to, and I forget what it was called, but it was led by a student. It was kind of a conversation on religion and theology.
Right.
And
right.
There were a couple, I know she held a couple different sessions or whatever, but I only made it to one. But I thought that was great, and something very similar, right, of getting people from different faith perspectives together. And,
but I mean, it's so easy right now for us to focus on the differences. Uh-huh. And, you know, what is really needed, I think, is one, an examination of commonality. And then a recognition that you don't have to agree with somebody, but you can disagree with them in ways that are respectful and you know, kind of a tough love scenario. Rather than kind of retreating into our mutual corners and only talking to people that think like us and reinforcing our own ideas. So that's what we're trying to do with our programming. So our next week will be on Monday. We'll be celebrating Martin Luther King Jr., the holiday, his birthday. And the concept of the march program, which will follow the march, will again be, it's, you know, what only love can do that. So we're going to focus on Dr. King's conversations about the transformative power of love. And so we're going to continue that conversation. And then in February, we'll celebrate Black History Month, and we'll be developing some more programming, but we will have a panel on, again, so the first panel we had this semester, or last semester, was, you know, how do you have those difficult conversations in ways that reinforce love and respect in the community?
Uh-huh.
And the second panel, which will be in February, will focus on how do you experience love in the community? How do you know when you are loved and respected, mm-hmm, and wanted, right? So we're trying to bookend this conversation with, we think that we are doing these things which are generative of community solidarity and respect. Uh-huh. And then how are people actually experiencing the things that we are doing?
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting conversation as well.
Yeah, that sounds, and that's happening in February.
In February, yes.
Black History Month.
Yep.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So yeah. You know, I just read an article. I think it was in the Washington Post just a couple of days ago. But you know, somebody at some university did a study on how social media is impacting the way that we communicate with one another, and
right,
so they, you know, sat people down with some political persuasion and had them read opposing political persuasions just on, you know, Facebook or,
right,
or whatever, and then interviewed them about how that impacted them. They said, oh, they're, you know, criticism of motives of whoever wrote it, criticism of intellect of whoever wrote it. And then later they sat them down in the same room. So it was, you know, the person that originally made that argument, the person who, you know, was critical of motives or intellect, sat them in a room and then had the person explain kind of where they came from and what their position was and why they thought that way, and then interviewed that, you know, the same critical person, had a totally different perspective.
Right.
You know, often still didn't agree with the policy objective that they were arguing for, but saw them as a human being, saw them as, you know, rational and reasonable and smart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think this kind of in the same vein, that's just fascinating about the way that we communicate with one another. And,
exactly.
Oftentimes are maybe overly critical and not very generous with other people's points of views.
Yep.
So our episode, we're actually recording this early. We're airing right now, you know, at 7 p.m. on Monday night. So the Martin Luther King March has already taken place. But is there a way for our listeners to be able to, I think Marketing Communications is putting that up on our website, the program. So if you go to isu.edu, you can watch the program after the march. I think they're even filming part of the march. That you can review. Am I wrong on that?
I'm not sure, but we will make sure
to
investigate.
Is it being recorded? I guess is the question.
And that's not a bad idea. We should. I think in general we need to do more of those kinds of things because I think we have a lot of very important conversations, learning opportunities, interactions that we can capture and people can review. I would hate for those things to occur and then kind of disappear into the ether.
Sure.
So, yeah, we'll talk to Marketing Communications to make sure that that's something that they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess we will correct that information if I was wrong, but hopefully there's a way to catch it online if you missed the march and the program. But tell us a little bit about what's actually happening at the program after the march.
Yeah, so the march is going to start at 1 o'clock. We'll meet on the south side of Holt Arena. We're asking people to show up half hour early so we can kind of get assembled and, you know, kind of get revved up for the march. So we'll march from Holt Arena to the Performing Arts Center, and then we have a program of speakers and such. So, of course, we'll have some musical selections. We've worked to really utilize the expertise of the students at Idaho State University. So we'll have some musical selections sung by students. Of course, the president of ASISU will speak, Ms. Jessica Sargent. And then our
not sure she's a great speaker. I'm not sure.
I'm sure she's fantastic. And then our keynote speaker is Tavante Jackson, who will be basically working off, the question of, you know, only love can do that, and the transformative power of love. So he is a remarkable speaker. We had him on a panel, the first panel that I referenced earlier, and I was really impressed with his insight and conviction with respect to the conversation that we're trying to have this year. He's a master's of counseling student, so you got to give that department some love as well.
Yeah, very cool.
We'll do that. We have, it'll be songs and things like that. And then we're going to ask you to, or challenge you to go and do some good in the community. So, you know, remember that while we celebrate Dr. King's legacy on the 15th of January or early in January, that we should be trying to live up to those ideals throughout the year. So that's the program in a nutshell.
Yeah, very cool. So you mentioned some of the programming that you've got coming up in February. Mm-hmm. If our listeners want to get involved with that, what's the best way for them to contact?
They can go to the Versity Resource Center website. That's isu.edu/DRC. If not,
search Diversity Center in the search bar.
Exactly.
It'll come up.
You can always go to the Equal Opportunity website, and then there'll be a link to the Diversity Resource Center. So that's one place that we'll have what our upcoming programming is. You can call the center. We have student workers, and you can always call me. Ideally, you call the center because there's usually somebody there at 208-282-3142.
Yeah.
We have a Twitter account and we have Facebook, so we're pushing out the information. But the best way to get involved is just to reach out. And I would encourage everyone to go to the Diversity Resource Center and just see what's happening in there. It's a great space. It's a place where students can go and just relax and be comfortable. Student organizations can sign up and use it for their meetings. We have some computers so that you can do your research. We have a refrigerator so, you know, you can store your lunch and come back.
And keep some snacks.
Exactly. Put your feet up and listen to some music. It's just a good space, but we really want that to be a space for everybody on campus to utilize. And it's not just for minorities. It is for everyone because diversity touches everyone and everybody represents diversity.
Yeah. And it's in a great location now. I mean, I think it was hidden like on the third floor of the museum building or something when I was a student, but now it's very visible at the front of the Rendezvous complex, kind of in the glass.
Right.
That glass corner on the – what side is that? The west?
North.
Northwest side, right? Northwest corner?
Northeast.
Northeast
well,
corner.
It's no. It's the northwest corner of the Rendezvous. It's directly across the street from the library. If you're crossing from the library into the Rendezvous, you come into that little glass atrium space, and it's the first door off to the left. Yeah. Doors usually open. There's usually music playing, and usually people hanging out in there, but we'd really encourage everyone and love to see everyone utilize that space, so please come visit us. And also, if there, you know, if you have ideas of things that you'd like to perhaps help initiate or be involved in, we're more than receptive to those.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Henry. And you know, here on Bengal Buzz, part of our show's purpose is to highlight ISU's alumni and the impressive things that they've done, and you yourself are an alumni of ISU at least twice, right? I know you got your master's degree and your doctorate here.
Yes,
I don't know if you,
master's too.
I don't know if you got a master's in between. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So a three-time alumnus of Idaho State.
Yes.
And I'm hoping we can spend our last few minutes just getting to know you better. If I remember right, and I might be wrong on this, but you came to ISU to run track.
I did.
Is that right?
Okay. I did.
So where are you from originally?
I'm from Pocatello. It's
okay.
My hometown.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you talk about I came to ISU to run track. I did run track. I was I was a long and triple jumper back in the early 80s. And probably one of the most injured athletes ever to participate in track and field at ISU. But that's another conversation. But it's funny when you talk about that because the reason I wound up coming to ISU, I think I always was going to go to college. I felt like I was going to go to college.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I wanted to be some kind of an athlete. But ISU had a great triple jumper when I was in high school. And when I went to Pokie, so Pokie doesn't have a track. So we would always work out we'd work out sometimes at Idaho State University.
Okay.
And they had a triple jumper named Jim Horner. And Jim Horner was this tall, rangy kid. I believe he's from Nebraska. And super intense. Uh-huh. So, you know, we're doing our work on our runways, you know, kind of in the way of the college athletes. And I'd look over across the field, and this guy, Jim Horner, would be doing these bounding drills and just screaming almost, just, you know. And he would, he'd snap his fingers like that before he jumped. And I was like, that's the guy I want to be. So
you started snapping your fingers before the jump.
So I really lobbied ISU. I think I recruited ISU more than they recruited me. So I was lucky enough to do, because I wasn't a great basketball player and probably didn't have the discipline I needed, I was disinvited to continue to play. and I did relatively well in the Simplot games and basically kept saying, you guys should recruit me. And so that's how I came to Idaho State.
What did you study when you were here as an undergrad?
I was a mass communication major, and then I had a minor in French and a minor in political science.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then realized right around my junior year that I liked political science more than I liked mass communication. And So I finished the degree with Mass Comm and then went to grad school to study international relations at Arizona State.
Oh.
And wound up coming back home, enrolled in the graduate program at Idaho State, and eventually graduated. So with a master's in doctorate in political science.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And you, you're an adjunct faculty member of our political science department as well?
Yeah, I am. Okay. So teach a couple of classes this semester, teaching minority politics this semester, which will be an interesting conversation. Again, focusing though, I was telling a story in my office about I was talking to a person in the community at Buddy's, and I was talking about the class I was putting together. What class are you teaching? Minority politics. And they kind of went like, oh, my gosh, it's going to be so conflict ridden. And, you know, we probably won't agree on anything. And I was like, well, here's the thing, though, is that I set the class up so that we can have a conversation about how we came to these understandings about ourselves and other folks. And then from there, work to see how groups that we call minorities have worked to include themselves into the mainstream of political and economic society. So I was just telling my class yesterday that, you know, for me, it's about externally imposed kind of definitions of folks, and then the ways that they went to, or folks have tried to come up with authentic or indigenous or autonomous definitions. And everyone has kind of experienced that, whether or not, you know, you call yourself a minority or not. No one wants to be in a box. And so that's the conversation we have in that class.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you're teaching that this semester?
Teaching it this semester. Okay. And I'm apologizing to my students today
first trial run, huh?
Well, I uploaded three things that they needed to read. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, that's a lot of reading and it's pretty dense. But, you know, they'll be okay.
Yeah. No, it sounds very, very fascinating.
Yeah.
So are you teaching anything this summer? If our listeners want to, you know, sign up for...
I don't know that I'm teaching anything this summer, but I'm sure if there's a large hue and cry about the need to take a class from me, the
department... Yeah, so everybody needs to email chair of the political science department.
No, I teach, I have a real job or another job, so I teach a class or two a year. But yeah, it's been fun. You know, I have to... I thank Idaho State University for... developing me in ways that I didn't realize I was being developed. That sounds really silly, but, I owe a lot to Idaho State University and, particularly, you know, the political science department, Dr. Liebecker. And I tell everybody all the time, you know, I owe him everything. You know, I was lucky and I was surrounded by some great professors and great students and a great environment. And I remember, I've told the story, I'm full of stories, obviously, but I told the story of when I realized that I liked college, and that might have been like the best and worst time of the day, of my life, because it was right before finals, and I was coming out of the sub, and it was about 80 degrees, and the wind was blowing, and gently, and the birds were singing, and I looked around and said, I love this. And then I was in school for the rest of my life, exactly. So, you know, it was a good and bad thing, I suppose, but more good than bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you've done great things for ISU, those of us that have known you for a while. I mean, I think I knew you when I was a student, and you've done some pretty cool things here at ISU and also just in the broader community in Eastern Idaho. I mean, I remember when you were at Partners for Prosperity for several years, you know, really improving our communities.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, yeah, it's a... very cool things all the way around, and definitely have made a good impact in our region and for ISU. So we've got a couple of minutes left, about 90 seconds. Is there anything else you want to you'd like to say to our listeners or remind them about?
Yep, come out and march on Monday. Come to the program. Seek out the Diversity Resource Center programming and the Gender Resource Center programming. Also, speaking, I want to thank the theater and Jason Sperry. Like I said, we were able to work to bring Loving to campus last semester. And it is the 50th anniversary of Thurgood Marshall, I believe, being appointed to the Supreme Court. But I may be wrong. I should know better. But anyway.
That's probably about right.
Yeah.
Brown was 1954,
yeah.
And he was appointed pretty quickly after Brown, I think. So.
But the movie that chronicles some of his life is going to be shown this week as well. So if you want to watch the movie Marshall, please go to the theater and, go take it in. I think we need to, we always need to support the efforts of the university when we're doing things like that. So I'd like to thank the ISU Theater and Jason Sperry and his crew for helping us do that.
Yeah. That's a great resource.
Right,
free
exactly.
For students, I think it's $2.
$2 for faculty and staff, yeah.
Or is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe so.
But, so for staff, $2, and then it's $3 for the public.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And also, I should also thank the College of Arts and Letters because, you know, they were able to help us bring Marshall to campus as well as loving, and so, you know, would be remiss not to thank them as well.
Yeah. So a lot of exciting things happening on campus. Hopefully you're able to join us for the march earlier today. But if you didn't, a lot of cool things coming up in February and of course, this movie.
Yep.
So thanks again, Henry, for taking time to be here. Go Bengals.
Go Bengals.